Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center, back again. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Great to talk to you.
Questions, questions, questions. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about Texas. Finally, and this I found this to be kind of strange, finally possibly becoming an open carry state, Michigan, where we live, already an open carry state, and it just shocked me that Texas was not already on board with this after so many years.
Right. I mean, Texas was one of four states that still banned open carry. So, you know, and it had been that way, I guess, since just shortly after the Civil War. It was something that I guess had originally been set up basically to deal with freed blacks. So it didn't exactly have the best history with regard to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I personally don't think it's a big deal as far as safety. If the ultimate issue is for these different gun laws is to try to improve safety, open carry isn't particularly important for that, because the benefit of concealed carry is that you take away the strategic advantages that attackers have. With open carry, the criminal sees that you're armed. They have multiple options. Either they can kill the permit holder, or they can wait for them to leave the scene, or the criminal can go and move on to some other venue that's there. With concealed carry, the criminal doesn't know what to expect there, and he doesn't know who he's supposed to go and attack first. So, I mean, I understand it's basically an educational type thing for a lot of these people to do this, but which I suppose, you know, if that's what they want to do is fine. I'm just saying, for me, the bottom line for these things is safety. And the big piece of legislation out of Texas, as far as safety goes, was a bill to end college campuses as gun-free zones. And I think that will have the biggest impact on safety issues. It allows people to be able to go and protect themselves in areas that they couldn't otherwise. And one of the big problems that you have is when you ban guns in campuses or someplace else, you not only ban the guns there, but you make it so that people are disarmed when they go to and from those campuses. And so that I think, is the big change. And that also is something that took years to get through the legislature.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott joins us here from the Crime Prevention Research Center. Yesterday, we had Dr. Alan Sachs on the show. He is a professor at the University of Texas Arlington. He said if this goes through, he's like, I'm carrying on campus immediately. He goes, I'll be able to protect myself on campus. There was just absolute no question that he was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be interesting in an educator, which with the history of a lot of educators being, you know, kind of against the whole thing. But again, to have that ability to protect yourself in time of crisis, I think is paramount to safety overall.
Right. Well, I mean, the fact that some people are going to do it protects the vast majority who have no intention of doing it. What you find is that time after time, when you look at these mass shootings, these criminals have picked venues where they know victims aren't going to be able to defend themselves. You know, Vince Vaughn made a little bit of a splash yesterday, the mm-hmm. actor, and I think he was quite correct, where he just pointed out that since at least 1950, with just two exceptions, all these mass public shootings keep on occurring time after time, where victims aren't able to go and defend themselves. You look at just cases from last year, whether it be the Santa Barbara killer here in the United States or the mass public shooter in Canada and New Brunswick. These guys left evidence that they had explicitly attacked areas where they knew victims weren't able to go and defend themselves. The Santa Barbara killer in his 141-page manifesto spends a huge amount of time explicitly going through and talking about how he picked the targets that he did. And one of the key reasons that he brought up for ruling out certain places was the fact that people might be there with guns to stop him. And he wanted to have a set of targets where he could kill as many people as possible before somebody was able to go and stop him. In the Canadian case, the killer there had many comics on his Facebook page about gun-free zones. I mean, one of the comics had a mass killer shooting people, and one of the victims was stumbling, trying to run away, and a little bubble above his head saying, well, you know, you can't be doing this. This is a gun-free zone. You're not allowed to have a gun here in order to kill people. And the killer there, as he's pointing his gun at the victim, is thinking to himself, what a moron, and apparently, you know, is about ready to pull the trigger.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott joins us here. Interesting with Vince Vaughn, that in Hollywood is so frowned upon. An industry making billions on gunplay and gun, you know, featuring gun violence in movies, really tends to shun actors that are in favor of these things. I mean, and that's kind of a bold statement on the point of him.
I don't know. It's a bold statement, and it was something where you know, there was a little doubt left where he stood on the issue. I think it was, given, as you say, the job atmosphere in a place like Hollywood, which is so overwhelmingly liberal, it was a career risk for sure. I mean, I've talked to other people who are there. Dennis Miller, for example, mm-hmm. who's had a big change in his views on guns and what have you. And in those individuals, I believe, have felt some bite for coming out publicly on similar issues. So we'll have to see what happens to Vince Vaughn.
No, I had the opportunity one time to speak with Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. I had the opportunity to interview Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestler turned actor, about guns and hunting. I asked him, why don't you have a hunting show? You love hunting so much. Why don't you have a show on the Outdoor right. Channel or Sportsman Channel? He says, it's Hollywood suicide to do a hunting show. He's yeah. like, I would love to do it. And he says, but you know what? It would kill my career, whatever career he has as an actor.
Right. No, I mean, I've had other people say similar things to me who are in Hollywood. And, you know, I understand where they're coming from on that. I mean, I've been an academic most of my life, and I understand, you know, it's probably one other area where people are overwhelmingly very liberal. I mean, you look at law schools, 93% of the faculty in the top 100 law schools are registered as Democrats. You have about 4% who are registered as Republicans. You know, it gives you some idea of kind of the intolerance that one runs into in those places. So,
absolutely. Dr. John Lott is joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show, 888-900-9966. Going to come back with more with Dr. John Lott here. Back with Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. Lott, a question just came to my mind during the break. We are seeing so much more, and maybe this is just because of the reactions of some of these cases of police officer-involved shootings. Has the media blown this up to the point where it's become more dangerous, an even more dangerous work environment for law enforcement? Because now we're seeing a lot of just random attacks on law enforcement here in the United States.
Right. Well, I mean, I believe there's some places where we've seen an increase in shootings of police officers. I'm not sure nationwide whether we've seen an increase yet. I guess we have to wait a little while to see what the data shows, but look, I think the biggest problem that the police face right now is just whether they're going to risk criminal charges if they go and do their job. And you see that in Baltimore. I mean, if they ever needed any evidence that police matter for reducing crime, you just have to look to see what's happened in Baltimore. Arrests are down by 50%. Murders are up by something like 110% right now. And criminals see that they have less to worry about, and they're taking advantage of it. So if there was ever any doubt that police matter, I think we're getting the evidence now. And people have to think twice whether they want to go and use the police as punching bags. Police have a difficult job. They have a very high rate of injuries on the job. You have about 600 and some thousand police officers in the United States, and yet you have about 64,000 police officers that are assaulted each year, serious assaults that require some type of hospitalization. You're talking about 16,000 or so. You know, those are high numbers. It's hard to find other professions. When a police officer gets into physical contact with a criminal, he's taking real risks. So people, I think, some of these mayors and others should think twice that there are real consequences for them making what's already a difficult job for police a lot more difficult. I'm not saying, obviously, sometimes police make mistakes, and if they do, they should be punished. But in some place like Baltimore, where, you know, in less than a day of getting the results from the police investigation, charges were brought against the police officers. I mean, I've been involved in law enforcement. I was chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission. I've seen the sentencing process. I've seen the process that charges are brought against people. And that's like incredible light speed times 10 to have something like that taken care of as quickly as it was. And you have to believe that there'll be mistakes and regrets on the part of the prosecution in order to try to do something like that.
Dr. John Lund is our guest here, and I worry, too, with these mistakes, a lot of the blame may be passed elsewhere and not on the administration that's making these mistakes.
Right. Well, I mean, look, we have a presidential administration right now that very quickly comes to decisions on who's at fault, whether you go back to the Cambridge police officer arresting Professor Gates, or the Trayvon Martin case, or the Ferguson case, or even comments in the Baltimore case. But at least in those other ones, the administration came to a very quick decision about who was guilty, who was at fault. And in each and every one of those cases, they were proven wrong. You know, you create an environment of hostility. You get people upset by claiming that you know what the answer is there, because a lot of people use that as justification for their anger. And you have others that put out information that's just patently false. When you have the New York Times recently claiming that young black males are killed at 21 times the rate that young white males are killed by police, I mean, it's just an outrageously false statement. And then they say, well, unarmed black males are killed at 21 times. It's like they take something that's inflammatory and make it even more absurd. So you have data that they were relying on that applied to, was only based on about 1% of the police departments. They ignore the fact that the police departments that were reporting that data were overwhelmingly heavily black areas in the country. They don't adjust for things like the crime rate differences by the people they're looking at in those areas. And, you know, on top of that, you have other problems with it. It's just, you know, here you're saying unarmed people, for example.
Sure.
Well, the numbers that they were looking at were justifiable homicides. By definition, there was a reason why the police were able to shoot those individuals, primarily because they were armed. So it's either a case where the New York Times doesn't even understand what the term justifiable homicide means in that case. But here you have just statements that generate real anger, and if people believe those types of things, you can understand why they would be angry, because they would be outrageous claims if they were true. Fortunately, they're not, but the damage is still done by those types of statements.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott, appreciate you joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show. As always, your insight, much appreciated. And, you know, you're putting hard work into this, as where a lot of the news agencies just aren't. But again, we appreciate you joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, thank you very much. If people want to get more information, they go to our website at crimeresearch.org, and it has everything that we've been talking about in more detail.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you.
As always, crimeresearch.org, Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center.